Welcome back to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. Here we are, Electrify podcast, and you know, I'm kind of new to the whole Electrify brand and working with it, Electrify as an experience, Electrify show off and the expo and showing everybody everything that is EV and EV mobility. So I'm super excited to have our next guest on. Michael Canavo is co-founder, CMO, chief marketing officer. And, you know, just with this kind of new direction we're going with the podcast, I was excited to, you're on my short list of people to talk to because you've made, I don't even want to call it e-bikes because I don't know if that's just like this buzzword that everybody kind of latched onto, but looking at the website, just says electronic bikes, right? Electronic motorbikes, because it's now just this huge space as far as production, what's going on. But Michael Canavo, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm excited and eager to find out what Super 73 is going on, where they came from, where they're at, where you're going.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here and I'm looking forward to having kind of a fun and different take on the typical electric news.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Electric news, because looking at the lineup, Super 73, how long have you guys been around?
So we were founded in 2016.
I mean, that's a short time. I mean, 26, I mean, you're not even 10 years old. And,
you know, I got to say it is, but it does feel like 50 years in the industry because it's just evolved so rapidly and so quickly. And, you know, in this world, especially when we were, you know, we were the first stylized fat tire e-bike to come out. It's been brutal, but in a really fun way to see the entire space blow up and grow, you know, in some places go too far, push too far, go too fast, and then have to kind of scale back down. So, I'm excited to kind of talk about the whole journey.
So are you saying the bikes can be sketchy?
I'm saying that there's a lot of opportunists who have come out that, on the way home, I saw, two of those, Surons being impounded. They were on. So the police in Irvine are now pulling kids over and taking their Surons because they're not street legal e-bikes.
No.
But the space has just exploded so fast that there's like anybody is riding anything they get their hands on, and regulation hasn't really caught up. So the next couple of years are going to be exciting to see.
Wow. So what, you know, Super 73, you're based in Irvine area, mm-hmm. right? Irvine, California.
Yep.
So what's the legality statewide to even just across the country?
Yeah. So it currently there's, you know, different regulations in most states. And I will say California has always done a really good job of setting the standard. California is kind of on the innovative side of any sort of transportation. And so what we've been trying to do is work with regulators and work with lawmakers to say like, hey, this is what we're operating within. This is what the majority of e-bikes are operating within. These are the standards that should be kept, at least for on-road e-bikes, and to call it an e-bike. You know, we talked about those Surons. Those Surons are incredible machines. Mm-hmm. And they're sold as off-road vehicles. And so they know what they're doing when they're selling them, but then their riders are taking them on the roads, and it's kind of becoming this gray area. And we've always made sure to maintain our class one, class two, class three standing. So no matter what state you're in, no matter what country you're in, our e-bikes will fit within those regulations. And while it's not always the most fun to do that, because we'd love to kind of open those motors up and let people rip, I think it is going to be the best thing for the industry at large.
And you bring up that great point, because there's degrees of e-bikes, electronic motorbikes, you know, like your cake. And as you talk about Surons, where does Super 73 fit within the whole? So anybody that's listening to this for the first time, they're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Where do you fit in the scope and the whole like family tree of e-bikes?
What's wild is we fit closer to your typical electric beach cruiser than to a high performance off-road vehicle like a Kake or a Surron. We just made the mistake early on of making our marketing too cool. And so we've kind of gotten
Brack.
Class.
Look, sorry, we're just too cool, guys. Like, we're
I don't know if you guys heard, I'm the CMO. No, we kind of got classed with more of these like kind of high performance motorcycles. And it's really because of the way that our bikes look and feel. They don't look like your typical beach cruiser style e-bike. Like Murph has a really cool beach cruiser. They're based in San Clemente. They have a really cool kind of beach cruiser design. we are more similar to them than we are to Sauron. But it's funny because you see those little gangs of teenagers and you see Super 73s and Saurons. And so I think it's kind of a matter not only of educating people, but just really working with lawmakers to make sure that as kids start to adopt these products, they're riding safely. And I know it's not fun to talk about safety, and we'll talk about cooler stuff too. But I think it's worth noting.
This is like, okay, I know the brand. We're, like I said, past, present, future. So we're kind of talking about present and quickly like that. And you know what the state of the union is, and the union is making e-bikes, I think, affordable, fun, safe priority, right? And so that feeds into it. And yeah, that's why I'm talking to you. You guys have done a really good job with marketing. And I just throw that. I'm the most humble guy I know. Like I'm Michael, I am way more humble than you. So
I'm catching that.
You guys have done a really good job on marketing, and for people that are going to Electrify Expo and engaging with EV and kind of considering going towards electronic motorbike, they have to know Super 73. You guys have done such a great job. And as you talk about your squads, you do have a Super 73 squad, you know, and Andrew's done a good job with that, both in California, where you're based out of, and across the country, going to Las Vegas, doing meetups. You guys have created this family, this tribe of Super 73 loyalists. I think that feeds into your brand and what people are excited about EV and the inclusion. Would you agree with that?
I mean, you couldn't have said it better myself. I think the community drove this company. And that's what I think, you know, we've always made sure to never lose, is that the community dictates who we are, where we're going, what we're doing, and why we're making it. And I think, you know, for a lot of vehicle companies, a lot of especially e-bike companies, it isn't necessarily about who the rider is. It's just selling to the rider. But, you know, with Super 73, we bring in and sometimes it can be brutal, but we bring in focus groups of our community members once or every other month, if not every month. And we hear from them. We hear their complaints. We hear their frustrations. We hear how they're riding. We bring their bikes in. We look at like, hey, what's failing? What's holding up well? What do we need to improve upon? You know, we just had the Electric Cowboy. His name is Harry. Ride his Super 73. From the East Coast to the West Coast, and his final destination. And literally every single mile was on a bike. He had a support van behind him a couple of times, but the bike was always the one doing the traveling. And so, you know, the information we got from him on like, hey, what were the pain points? He rode on every terrain. He rode in every state. He rode in every weather. And so we sat with him for hours and we were like, tell us everything, because he put within a matter of like 30, 45 days, put more miles under those tires in a shorter amount of time than we've ever even done. And so it's about kind of maintaining that community relationship and being community driven. And then also being willing to listen when it's really hard to listen.
That makes sense, because you get all these cars over the years, you know, with their dazzle camo, wrapping them. Here's your R&D, and you got to admit failure. I mean, with kind of turmoil comes a greater result. That could be relationship wise. That could be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. And here we are talking about e-bikes and mobility. All right. So we're talking about the culture that you've created. But what somebody's scratching their head and saying, I really like Super 73. I've seen Diplo ride it out at Burning Man. I've seen, you know, who else? So drop some names. Watch your toes. We're going to drop some names here. Michael, CMO. Who else is riding Super 73s?
We've got Post Malone. We've got Madonna. We've got Will Smith. We've got Justin Bieber. We've got Lil Nas X. We have every single Carolina Panther. The list does go on and on. And that's a huge thanks to our customs program and our customs team. What's always, we started making these bikes because we just wanted to make cool bikes. For those who don't know, we launched on Kickstarter, and the idea was, hey, let's just make 25 of these bikes. It'll pay off our bills. We were in a lot of financial trouble at the time. We were, you know, younger kids doing a startup, and we didn't have enough money to make ends meet. So we were like, what if we just made some cool, we took a Taco mini bike from like the 1970s and we mashed it up with a fat tire e-bike kit that we actually got from Walmart for the prototype. And so we like kind of welded some new pieces on, changed the frame design. We came out with this really strange looking, like souped up mini bike that nobody had ever seen before. And that was just because we wanted to make something that we wanted to ride. And that was the big difference, is we looked around the space and there was nothing for us. And so that kind of came from our desire to make something cool. It really hit and it caught on, which turned the whole thing into a company. It wasn't initially going to be a company. It was just going to be a project. And from then on, those customs and that sort of creativity, we always made sure to hold that very reverently and very closely, because I think that's where our passion lies, especially my passion, is making really unique, one-of-a-kind things. So whether we're turning into speeder bikes from Star Wars or 24-karat gold plating them, there's so much of our passion that goes into that. And then that is what really attracted the celebrities, to where it got to a certain point where now we're like 6 months out on these wait lists for these builds. And not only are they paying, which is really cool, but they're paying like the premium prices for them, where we used to have to kind of like make it and say, hey, we'd love to give this to you. So it's become kind of a really cool part of the business. And it's something that we've been actively working on expanding onto our actual website. Our goal is to make custom building on the website possible for everybody who goes to super73.com.
And that's what it comes down to, is this is an extension. It is a vehicle. It's you know, they're not cheap. Let's be quite honest. For those tuning in, you do have good, better, best. And that comes down to lights, suspension, comfortability, just obviously motors, customization. So all that. And so, I mean, I'm looking at the website, the Comfortable Commuter, which is basically, it's stiff. It's a rigid chassis.
It's like a beach cruiser.
Yeah. So that's, you know, MSRP $2,395. Then you go all the way up to the Rugged Runner, and that's, you know, just under $4,000. But I will tell you, it's an investment, but just like anything, if it's shoes on your feet, or if it's a car that you drive every day, and fashion, you pay for what you get. And you guys have done a really good job, because there are some less desirable e-bikes that I know they have a shelf life. You guys have built yours for the long run.
Yeah, that was always the goal, is we wanted to the bike to evolve with the rider. And so we didn't want to sell something that was going to expire in 6 months. And truthfully, that is why we spend more money on the batteries, on the cells, so that it will hold up longer. And like every company, we've had our learning experiences. We've gone back to the drawing board. We've said, hey, this didn't work, or hey, we need to change this. We do rolling production changes. Even right now, our Z Adventure is getting a rolling production change to make that a stronger vehicle, because we listen to the feedback of our riders. And so that's always got to be at the forefront. And I feel like with so many, since 2020, since COVID, there was an e-bike boom where like, it was some crazy stat where like almost overnight, there was like 5,700 new e-bike companies in the US. Just like, it's so messy, but they're all just kind of, not all, there's some really incredible like designers out there, but a lot of them are just pulling these bikes straight out of the factories in China, putting their label on them, and then selling them basically white labeled. And that is a great way to make a profit, but it's not a great way to build a legacy. And that's always been so important to us. I mean, you look at like the Super 73 knockoffs, and they all look very similar because they're all coming from the same factories. And so with us, while it would be cheaper and more effective in the short run to do that, we always thought of ourselves as like, we have a real chance to be the Jeep or the Harley Davidson of the e-bike space. And we really wanted to put the work in to become that. And that's kind of why, when those prices are what they are, but then the product that you get is so different.
So the knockoffs, are they called mild 36.5? Or is that they're not super, they're just like basic face?
I saw a Super 74 on Alibaba the other day.
No way.
And I was just like, come on. So I bought it, because what a great deal it was.
I kind of turned it down.
Yeah, it's too good of a deal.
Speaking of these Nike knockoffs, I saw that one video of the bikes on fire for days. That e-bike warehouse, that was like, I think in California, right?
Yeah. So there was a few that have been happening recently, and that's just because of this like huge boom in need for lithium ion. And so there's a lot of these Chinese factories are seeing, hey, there's an opportunity here to just crank out these cells. And the problem with most of these cells, we're going to get a little technical here for a minute, but I promise we'll stop after this.
We'll go back and we're going to talk, because I do want to
talk colors and sounds.
I know, Michael, I want to tease something, because you said, when I asked you to do the podcast, you said, maybe we could tease something. So I'm gonna plant a little seed right here and let this grow amongst our conversation. So
I had my year review with LeGrand, our CEO, my business partner, and his one critique of me, I don't mind sharing this, is that I'm an oversharer. And he's like, you should probably dial that in a little bit. And I was like, I'll try. So we'll tease a little bit, but I'll make sure that I get another call from him about oversharing after this. So, but what's happening is there's this big boom in manufacturing of these lithium ion cells, and they're just packing these batteries together, throwing them in a case, wiring them all together and sending them off. What happens is if you have one failure in one cell out of 28, 46, 72, however many cells you have in a pack, if you have one failure, it's going to cause a chain reaction. And that's the biggest issue that's currently happening right now with these e-bike fires is one cell's going because only one cell has the issue. But because they're all wired together, that power is running from cell to cell and it's creating this chain reaction of explosions, which is why these fires are lasting so long. What Super 73 does that I'm very proud of, and it was actually something that Legrand was very adamant about early on, was that each cell had its own sort of like safety mechanism on it. So that if it started to become unstable, it would have this little, without sharing too much, have this little piece of technology on it that would remove it from the rest of the battery so that it would no longer be able to pull or give any sort of power. And so you could have a bad cell in your battery right now, and it's already removed itself, quarantined itself from the rest of the pack so that it can't receive any charge. It just basically becomes a dead battery.
It's more of like a fuse type system. It's like you have multiple fuses as opposed to one massive fuse. You got to
bingo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Exactly.
And that's going back to, again, the nerdy stuff, just making sure that everybody's safe. You know, you want to have a superior product for the investment purposes, safety, all those other things. All right. So you talked about all these celebrities that have had them, but you also have worked with cool people like Roland Sands. Like what a cool bike that was. And I got to experience, what was it? The R when we went to Peterson Museum and rolled around. Wasn't that the launch of the R?
So yes. So we did do a press event there. Yeah. That's actually where we originally met each other. Yep. So we did do the press event there for our new Z series and our new S series. It was kind of like the first big, you know, new unveiling, but we were already in the Peterson Museum because of Roland. He took one of our old frames and said, like, hey, this is sort of what I envision kind of a lightweight electric motorcycle could look like in the future. And that had such good feedback that, you know, one, he was super great to us and we got along so well that we were like, would you like to design your own production run? And so Roland has been kind of, he initially was the one who said, like, hey, these guys are with me. And that was so huge for us because we weren't motorcycle riders at the time. We all are now, which is crazy how that's happened so quickly. But at the time, we were just, one, I was making content, videos. I was, you know, doing my hobbies on the side. Aaron, my other partner, was a DJ. And Legrand was a motor battery kit supplier for bikes. So he was the only one with like the bicycle experience, but Roland found us and where the cycling world rejected us originally, like I got laughed out of bike stores with that Kickstarter bike. Roland said, these guys are with me and started bringing us to his motorcycle shows. And he started having us race. So before the big motorcycle races, everybody would, you know, get out on those Super 73s and elbow each other and kick each other while they're riding because there's very little consequence. And that kind of became a big staple of those events, which really kind of changed the course of Super 73 forever.
Well, that's, you're talking about, was it Born Free or One Moto Show, Mama Tried? Yeah. I've been to Mama Tried in Milwaukee, which is obviously the home of Harley Davidson. And they had bird scooter races, which was kind of fire, by the way.
Right. Because there's no consequence compared to motorcycles. Right. It's a fun toy and it's a good accessory to their adventure. And so that's kind of, we were able to come in and we weren't those tryhards because we weren't trying to be a motorcycle. We were trying to be a toy for motorcycle enthusiasts to have fun with.
Well, and then you got the Lightning Pass too. You got the Roland Sands Lightning Pass for those Disney nerds out there, which I'm a Disney adult, I will admit. But you get that Lightning Pass and go right to the front of the line when you're with Roland Sands, who his whole family has been absolutely pivotal for growth of aftermarket parts and all that. So it's great to see the Roland bike, all those other cool bikes. So look that up if you're listening to this. What are some other cool bikes that you're proud of on customization? Because this is a canvas and, you know, you have a bevy of making it your own from pegs and pedals to surfboard racks, like all of that. What are some other cool projects where somebody's taken your canvas, the Super 73, and made it?
Yeah. Yeah. So we have, you know, we have our like limited release line. So we did a collaboration with Hot Wheels, which was really, really exciting. And that ended up, that came with a little Hot Wheels car that was branded Super 73. It's one of the rarest Hot Wheels now, which is really cool. We've done Yves Saint Laurent, the fashion house out in France. We did a line with them and kind of continuing on to do projects with them, which is wild because when you look at the two, Hot Wheels and YSL, they could not be further apart. No. You have a toy for kids and for adults who collect, you know, those cars. And then you have this like luxury fashion line that's one of the top in the world. And they're both able to take their brands and put them on our canvas. And that's really sort of that mentality that helped us to understand that, not to make kind of a cliche comparison, but that Super 73 could be the Ryan Reynolds of the technology in the vehicle space, in that you can see Ryan Reynolds in any role, whether he's running a gin company, playing a superhero in a rom-com, in a horror movie, and you believe it. Like, it's easy to say like, well, it's Ryan Reynolds. He fits there. He fits everywhere. He owns a soccer club out in England, or sorry, Wales. And
you'll get canceled. You're canceled.
I got it. I caught myself real quick. It's all authentic, and that's what's so important to us. And that's what Super 73 kind of became. And it was very, it was very intentional from the beginning. We always were like, we got to be the Ryan Reynolds.
That analogy. Cool that I've never heard that, but yes, that
it's cool because we can do a military bike that is, you know, with military paint that can actually be, we have some that are with, you know, whether they're special forces or, you know, back in like 2018, we had, before the whole Ukrainian conflict kind of blew up, we had one of their generals reached out and said, hey, we need vehicles out here.
Oh, wow.
And Super 73 was one that they were testing out to be like a viable on field, vehicle for like short distance traveling. And then we have Paris Hilton, who's like, I want an all pink sparkly one. And so it's really incredible to see how much kind of depth that brand is able to have. And we're super lucky to be where we are.
At the top of the podcast, you said we could be the Jeep and look at what Jeep did, you know, the Willys Jeep back mm-hmm. in the day. That was a call to action. You know, the only year they didn't make vehicles was 1945 in America. I'm talking exclusively about the USA. They didn't manufacture cars because all the effort went towards planes. So very interesting, and it's such a buzzword, pivot. But yes, I mean the pivot of you guys, and you've seen some great funding. You know, it's public knowledge, so bring it up. But speaking of just you guys growing your business partner's name, LeGrand. I mean, if there's not a better CEO name.
His last name is Cruz.
Dude.
Like, it just couldn't be a better situation. Don't tell him, because every time he goes to these Electrify Expos, it is like it's like he's Ryan Reynolds, the way that people run up and say, can I get a photo with LeGrand? It's LeGrand. And it's just like, LeGrand's coming back from Electrify. He's going to have tons of selfies with people. But yeah, he is really like such a different kind of CEO than anybody else in the space. And his kind of foresight and knowledge. And I think that just comes from being so, I hate to say it again, authentic with, you know, he was supplying these e-bike battery and motor kits. He really knew early on what the space could be. And then he trusted Aaron and I to build the brand the way we wanted to build it. He's like, look, I have no interest or ability to go out there and get millennials. He was like, so you guys do whatever you think is right. And like I said, I get very little feedback from him occasionally outside of the oversharing comments of, you know, dial it back a little bit. He lets us go. He trusts his team. And that's what's so cool.
You know, again, it's public knowledge and we talked about it, but getting capital and growing the company, it's a big responsibility too, because of it is this scary space. And you have seen Kickstarter mm-hmm. companies, something like Gel Blasters. I don't know if you've seen those. That was a Kickstarter company that took off and didn't really need that. Now you're going from this. There's mm-hmm. there's business acumen that you need to have. And it seems that it's really worked out for you as far as timing. Offering up something unique, right? Success happens when you got an opportunity and this product that fills that void, right? So here you guys are growing, but you got to stay relevant because, as you said, I always relate this to snowboarding back mm-hmm. in the day, right? Like I'm talking when there were five companies, maybe, you know, it was Burton, Sims, like literally Barfoot, these are companies that aren't around anymore. And it went from 5 companies to 5,000 companies. So the market grew overall, but it spread the money out thinner. And that's what you guys are experiencing, because you have people that have champagne dreams, but beer budget. So they have to, they have to get those, you know, white label, this, that, and the other thing. So Super 73, I mean, I think we've talked it up, but it isn't just about branding. It is the product, and you guys constantly evolving, constantly being relevant, and you're having fun while doing it. And like you said, we're cool, but let's just segue right into it. The C1X, you guys are having a lot of fun. I was on your Insta and that funny video of you and saying it's been spotted, like this man right here. It was really good job. But the C1X redefines the genre is the tagline.
Yeah. Listen, the C1X is, that was LeGrand's baby right there. I think when he said, we're going to make a motorcycle, we were all like, okay, let's go. And he went out and he found the talent. He found some incredible engineers who I am just in awe of. And it's funny because you see so much content about them because marketing just wants to hang out with them. We just want to be around them. We want to learn from them. We don't understand half of what they're saying. But to kind of build that culture within Super 73, where like, hey, that nucleus of Super 73, for better or for worse, for the last 6 years was the brand, it was the marketing. And I think we're ready to kind of rest our laurels on something more substantial. Not that the marketing and the branding isn't so fun and such an important piece, but I think it could be so much more. And so what the engineers have done, they've come in and said like, hey, you guys have been talking this big game. We are ready to meet you at that level. And if you want to tell our story, tell our story. And so, you know, we actually, today we have basically
don't overshare. Like, Michael, don't overshare. I don't know. LeGrand's listening.
Well, LeGrand, I don't think LeGrand knows about this one. But we have a weekly meeting that's basically mimosas and ideas where marketing and engineering sit together and we have some mimosas or margaritas and we just talk like, hey, what are the comments we're getting? What are the DMs we're getting? What are the questions the community has and how can we address those? And so it's really cool because you have two groups of people that ordinarily wouldn't even get along in the organization. And now we've basically built up a cool little like cell of people that are able to work together, able to find value with each other and able to kind of inform and educate our customer base on what's important because we have that sort of relationship. So the engineering part of Super 73, you're only going to hear more about. You know, we're working really on the strategic side to kind of find the right partners moving forward and to bring this vehicle to market in a way that truly can, it's annoying to say, but revolutionize this space because it hasn't really, the motorcycle, like the e-bike side has blown up, but the motorcycle side, we're kind of seeing what we saw in 2016 when Super 73 joined the e-bike world. There's not a lot of options. There's not a lot of technology. You kind of got the big players flexing and doing some stuff, but there's not really like a sustainable, you know, consumer ready product that anybody can just hop on and ride. And so that's what we're trying to provide. Not the highest performing, not the biggest, not the scariest, not the loudest, but the one that everybody's going to be able to get on.
And what's really cool about it is you acknowledge it without acknowledging it, but the big guys, Livewire, most notably, Livewire, I think has done a good job marketing and spreading the word. And again, with the Electrify and the EV, sometimes it's really intimidating. So I will tell you that I know people that have worked for Harley Davidson. They're diehards, amazing, you know, part of the Harley fabric. And he says, dude, the Livewire, when we shot it in Spain, it was one of the most fun bikes I've ever ridden. And this is like pan head, shovel head, like dude you see at the Born Free or One Moto, and they're just, they look badass. And then here they are. They're like, dude, the Livewire was sick. It was a blast. Like, how can you not
it's
like
cool.
this?
It is cool to see that. And I hope we see more of that sort of adoption because there was quite a bit of pushback early on where, you know, it was almost like, but they put it under Livewire because it couldn't be sold under Harley. Like it just is such a different sort of product that the user base is going to reject it simply because it is so different. And I think it's been cool to see people starting to come around to it. And, you know, ICE is always going to have a place, especially in the motorcycle world where there's these custom builds, these kind of like, you know, gearheads that that want that, they want that soul and that passion. But I do think that there is a way to bring that soul and passion into EV. We're just on the forefront of it. And so in the same way that when I had that Kickstarter bike, I was laughed out of bike shops. You know, those, some of those early stage motorcycles are going to get laughed out of motorcycle shops, but then in 3 years, it's all they're going to be selling. And so it is interesting to see, you know, not that, you know, ICE is going to ever truly go away. I think in this space, I think it deserves to stay and it should stay, but I think you're going to see a lot more of that. What you said, where they were like, this thing's cool. It's worth getting on.
Yeah. It's evolution. It's happening. You know, things progress and you know, it's like fixed gear bikes and penny farthings, you know, like there's technology, there's freewheel. You want to buy cool hubs, all that. I'm something that's coming to my mind right now is again, we keep defecting back to being more of the motorcycle world than even bikes. And even though, like you said, Super 73 is closer to an electric beach cruiser, a good friend of mine, Len Higa, who operates there in Costa Mesa, has a shop called Oni Motorworks. Born Free Year 2. This is 2010. I had to look it up real quick to make sure what bike it was. But he won the best original. He won winning award with small displacement Japanese bike. He won the best original award chosen by Chopper Dave. And if you look that up, again, shout out to Len Higa. Like it's this cool cafe. But he's amongst all these, again,
And
that was kind of a shift of like, oh, okay. And even though they're both, as you say, ICE, which is internal combustion engine, for those that don't know, Michael's not talking about keeping it cool, as cool as he is. internal combustion engine as opposed to EV. Hey, we got to fill all the blanks here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate
it. It's all good. Disrupt the norm, man. You know, there's a saying that I always say, and it's, I want to be different just like all my friends. And some people tend to be like that, right? And that's why I look at Super 73 as a canvas. So as much as I want, you know, one, it's like, I want to make it my own. And I just saw you gave a crazy gold bike and this woman adorned it and it's going to Born Free. Was that Born Free? What was that bike? Do you know what
I'm
talking about?
Which one are we talking about?
I got to look it up real quick. It was an artist bike and you gave it to somebody. And you guys are having giveaways all the time. I know you do stuff with...
Are you talking about the bike shed? Yeah. So we have a current custom at Bike Shed. We try to not give away too much, but it's just so fun. Mm-hmm. Our Halo team, they're making customs left and right, like nonstop, even when there's no purpose. We're just like, hey, they wanted to do an all white bike. They wanted to do an army bike. And so we have this like huge inventory of them and it's way more fun to give them to the community than for them to sit and collect dust in our warehouse. And so we found like, we actually don't tend to give away our stock bikes too often. We tend to do cool giveaways for our customs just because we want more people to have them.
Yeah.
We're also working currently on, while you look that up, we're working currently on, building sort of this auction platform within our website to where we can start to just auction off the bikes we make.
Yep.
And we can partner with different nonprofits and partner with different artists. And so it creates the sort of like reason to want to check in on the website every week because a new bike's going to go up for auction and it can be, you know, something that you're interested in or something that's just interesting to look at. And so I think adding those elements really has helped us to stay relevant. It's funny at Electrify, not too long ago, there's a company that is now declared bankruptcy and went out of business, but they came up to LeGrand and they said, hey, we just want to let you know, we watch you guys and anytime you do something, we just copy it. And that was, it was an interesting comment for, I think it was their CMO who said that, or one of their co-founders. It was an interesting comment to hear because they were, you know, selling the same frame design that we initially came out with. And it was very clearly like, hey, we're just copying you guys. But what they weren't able to get is that kind of passion and that authenticity within the creativity of what they do. Our company was built that way. We weren't built to make money. There's a reason why all the founders are still working there. Yeah. We're built to build a legacy. So this was never a short-term play. This was like a 10, 15-year commitment that we all made. And so, you know, that was built within the DNA of like, hey, we have to be creating these things that we're passionate about. We have to be unique and individual, which is not a good way to make a ton of money. We're making these kind of art bikes. But it's really cool to see people trying to emulate that. And even though for the most part, we're still sitting pretty without too much of that competition, I think it does kind of help the whole industry as entirely because it can be commodified so fast.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys are again, giving giving credit where credit is due, the customers. Don't dumb it down. Don't make it this inferior product. Don't make it this inferior experience. Otherwise, they're not investing into you. And right. Like you said, it's a legacy. It's a long play. So that C1X, back to that, that's something of staying relevant, making sure, you know, everybody's happy, including mm-hmm. you guys and anybody who's invested into Super 73. What's next? Like, what is next? So kind of.
Yeah. So the C1X is obviously kind of a huge part of our focus that has the same wheelbase, same seat height as any Super 73 that you've ridden. And so if you've rode a Super 73, you'll be able to ride a C1X, which is mind-blowing, telling somebody who, you know, would never think about buying a motorcycle that they're already equipped to be able to ride a motorcycle is wild. And we're really kind of going more in that direction. And so, you know, while I can't share too many details, we've been lucky enough to be traveling all over the world for the last couple of months, meeting with really incredible potential strategic partners on the next chapter, because we don't want to do this by ourselves. We want to do this with somebody who's established, who's been doing it for 100 years, who knows the ins and outs of production. We want to make sure that we can bring our technology and brand, but we can have their manufacturability and their quality. And that's the most important thing to us right now. So we're really kind of vetting partners on that end. You know, there's some news that's come out, there's some that will come out, but we're really kind of getting deep into that. And it's been so exciting to see how that's revolutionized the entire lineup. And so, you know, all of that technology that we're putting into the C1X, that's trickling down into our future models. And that's the most important thing. We've been sitting on, you know, the R, the S, and the Z for the last 3 years now. And, you know, we've got some new variants. We've been changing the motors. We've been changing the batteries. We've been kind of upgrading them as they go, but we haven't had a massive overhaul. And that's something that I think we're all really excited and eager to get to. And the reason why we've kind of put it off a little bit is because that C1X technology is going to power future Super 73 bikes. And that's what's so exciting. And you see it in the K1D, which is the new kids bike that we just came out with recently. That thing has regenerative braking, it has throttle control, and it's using a lithium, like twist throttle. It's using a lithium iron phosphate battery, which is a different kind of battery that you could take a sledgehammer to and it wouldn't create a thermal event. So you can, if for some reason it gets run over by the minivan, you don't have to worry that, you know, that the battery is going to create chaos. And those are the sorts of things we're really kind of diving into on the technology side to make sure that we can provide a better product that evolves with our riders.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the K1D. So a great segue for that. And this is a balanced bike, electric, ages four through eight. I know my son has had a few Stasics and he's kind of growing and you know, Stasic's done a really good job with their product and it's evolved too. So I think this is kind of rivaling that, obviously. Would you agree with that? I'm sure you've
seen Stasic. I can't tell you how excited I am for people to see them race side by side.
That's good.
We've been doing a lot of the testing, a lot of the back and forth. We've had a lot of little Stasic riders in the warehouse and down at the Fox track, putting this thing through the motions. And my favorite thing is one of our riders, after the shoot ended, was sobbing because he didn't get to take the K1D home. and he said, "Can I come back and ride it tomorrow?" And they said, "No, it's not out yet." And the kid threw a temper tantrum. And that's the greatest thing in the whole world. When you see some kid who's like hanging onto the handles as the mom is pulling him away, that should have just been the ad.
That's the
like
ad.
If the kid,
we
if
make
the kid
kids cry. In, Super 73.
If the kid wasn't in crisis, that would have been a fantastic ad. But it just kind of speaks volumes to what we've made. And, you know, like we made the K1D so strong that one of the riders' dads hopped on one too, and they rode around the track like 10 times together. Sick. And so, you know, we're stating that the weight limit's 75 pounds. I'm not saying that,
yep.
But I am saying that, hey, dad, if you want to rip around on it, it could probably handle it.
Yeah.
And that's what's so cool is we're really building this thing differently. We're building it differently than we built any Super 73 before. And that's because of the C1X technology. It's why we delayed the K1D like 9 to 10 months extra was because we saw this technology and we wanted it to be a part of that model.
I just love looking through your Instagram. It's really fun because you guys do a great job, aesthetically pleasing, bikes forward, but still having fun with, you know, the Super Soaker bike. You did that PSG bike, which I thought was really cool. That was years ago. Like,
yeah, it was one of our first collabs.
Yeah. I don't think Mbappe was part of the team even then. And then they did that Jordan collab. So it was like, you were right there. You know, they did the Jordan PSG thing. So it is. And kudos to you, Michael. Like you know, it is trend hunting, seeing what's going on here. You know, what's next? Pacifico, you know, doing collabs with them. I'm looking at, you know,
you've got
Kid Cudi. Wild one. Well, that was a
I love Kid Cudi.
That was the Verdi. Cool, yeah, the Verdi bike, right?
Yeah. We've got I can't tell you who it's for, but I've got a 24 karat gold plated K1D down in the warehouse right now. And it's for a very popular creator who will be able to ride it due to their size. And that's about all I want to say right now, because that deal is going through, but it's going to be real big when that thing shows up, real big in the UFC space too, which will be fun.
No more hints.
I didn't say any names.
All right. Well,
it's going to be cool.
You know, I announced Nitro Cross. I had the opportunity. You mentioned UFC. I got to meet Dana White because of investment, the Nitro Cross is part of Nitro Circus and part of Street League Skateboarding. So I got to meet Dana in Oklahoma at our round one of Nitro Cross. Because I don't know if, have you been out to Nitro Cross yet?
No, not yet.
Bro, Glenn Helen, let's go. I got you.
I would love to go.
1,000 horsepower, all-wheel drive.
Ooh,
let's go.
So that would be sick.
I got you tickets. No problem.
The guys from Nitro Circus have always been real great to us. They've been riding with us since the beginning. And so, yeah, it'd be cool to get in there. And you know, that C1X platform, what's really cool about it, we call it the roller skate technology, where basically, and when we took that from the car EV world, where they have the skateboard technology, where all of your technology in the car world is the wheels and the platform. So it looks like a skateboard. With the C1X, you know, all of our technology is kind of in this large shell here, and then in what's happening back here with the motor. But you can attach any swing arm, any, you know, fork, any rake angle. You can make it look like anything you want to make it. And so the idea is, like, this piece, this sort of roller skate technology with the C1X can turn into, you know, MX, can turn into touring, can turn into performance, can turn into street racing. It can turn into anything that whoever gets their hands on it wants to turn it into. And that's why I think this thing is going to be very similar to our bikes and very similar to Ryan Reynolds, where you can just kind of plug it into any role and it's going to be able to perform.
Yeah, the FC1X is really cool. And it's maiden debut at its first season. We're entering our second season utilizing that car. Everybody was kind of biting their fingernails when we launched that Lyddon Hill, and literally first corner, bingo bongo, here goes Travis Pastrana up the bank at the birthplace of rallycross, and it took a hit. He had some issues with steering, but
yeah,
it evolved in one short season. It's evolved, and the Ericssons family, they've developed it. So the debut of the second season, it's getting a little more and more refined, and you need to be able to adapt, right? And you know, you talk about Ryan Reynolds. Are we allowed to talk about your affinity for the Star Wars and all that stuff? Can we? Because
I'm happy to. I don't want to annoy people, so
touch on it deep. But when you and I spoke, it was like Star Wars. This, oh, here's my personal page, Rexing around. So you were an extra in Star Wars. Mando?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Which, you know, life-changing experience. So for those who don't know, my alter ego for all these years has been Rexing around, which is a Star Wars based persona. And, I just kind of started building armor one day, and I was like, hey, I could show people how to build armor as well. And so I started making YouTube videos, and those started blowing up, and then I started posting on TikTok, and that started blowing up and kind of lost control, which is funny because if you look at a lot of our early kind of Super 73 supporters, they're also Star Wars fans. And so that's kind of where that speeder bike collaboration we did with Casey Neistat and Jesse Wellens came from. And so you can kind of start to piece it together and be like, oh, that makes sense. But I ran that platform for a long time. I've actually since stopped entirely. So once the idea was, hey, I'd love to get into Star Wars, so I'll just basically build this platform up as a launch pad to get into Star Wars. And one day the offer came through and they were like, hey, do you want to come be in Star Wars? We have a role for you. It was 6 weeks on set, which was incredible. I had never been on set before. I'd never acted before. They dressed me up. They put me through makeup every day. They ended up cutting probably close to 60, 70% of what we did, which was like new for me. And that's just standard for the industry. But it was it's still incredible to be a part of it. And I'm kind of all over a couple episodes as kind of an underground railroad Jedi, basically saving other Force users through that. But out of respect to Lucasfilm for trusting me, I just shut down all my platforms. And I think it was a good sign because of I've gotten a couple more calls since then, so I'll be kind of continuing on that journey, which is exciting. As much as, you know, it was a bummer to say goodbye to the podcast that I used to do as well as the content, kind of the next chapter of being canon, which, you know, in Star Wars, it's canon is the universe that they live within. It's kind of an exciting new chapter.
That's cool, man. And here you are dedicating more time to Super 73, but concurrently, yeah. You know, when you can monetize your passion, it's great. But also sometimes, as you know, it gets problematic where it's a stressor as opposed to just having fun with it, having it be a hobby. But I had to touch on that because I think that's a really cool facet, and it speaks to your affinity for the future and with the Star Wars, as you say, the canon and the stories, it's not everything's shiny and new mm-hmm. and the slay, you know, it's things get beat up. And I think that, again, there's part of that Star Wars essence in Super 73 as well.
Listen, thank you for identifying that because I couldn't agree more with, you know, the fantasizing and the creativity and like living in a used world. I think those are my favorite thing about the Star Wars franchise. Why it beat Star Trek for me is because, you know, I do love Star Trek, but it's so shiny and clean and perfect and new. And Star Wars is so lived in and dangerous and dirty and used. And I think, you know, we've always really pushed that with Super 73 is use it, run it into the ground, break it, like make it yours, customize it. So when we go on these group rides, you do see so many Super 73s that have just been spray painted or weathered. And there's some that look like they've been rusted out now. They've been like customized to look that way. You know, we have a really near and dear rider to us, Paul Harris, who has a Mando themed Super 73 now. Rides with a little Mandalorian helmet in the front. So you can see a lot of that crosses.
Yeah.
Crosses patterns.
I can encourage everybody to check out Super 73. You know, Michael, I really appreciate your time. Don't want to take up too much more, but is there anything else that you, did you give us the tease that we teased at the front end and now people have endured us talking?
Yeah, I think that sort of trickle down technology that we've been working on is what the most exciting thing in the walls of Super 73 is right now, because, you know, it's easy to blink and suddenly the whole industry has evolved and left you behind. And so for us, I think it's important to show that, hey, we have not been left behind. Hey, we're working on some really cool stuff and we're really excited to show the community. So it's all community driven. Everything we do is for our riders and I'm excited to get to show them what we've been working on.
Very cool. Congratulations on all your success and your future success. So for Rugged Rides, Urban Rides, Neighborhood Rides, and K1D, AKA Kid Rides, and to get on a C1X redefining the genre, talking about electric and it being a motorcycle, check out super73.com. And thank you, Michael Canavo and LeGrand and Aaron. And again, this is truly the grand Super 73. Anything else you want to add? But thank you, man.
No, thank you for your time. Thank you to the audience for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael Canavo, Super 73. Again, check out super73.com for more information. Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.